Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Tonight, our Lenten series theme takes us to see the God-man who thirsts. Thirst, like hunger, it's common, it's primal. John, throughout his gospel, it seems, has crafted a commercial, if you will, for a new water, a better water than that which quenches temporary thirst, one rather that quenches eternal thirst. This gospel has been cultivating a desire for us to desire this living water that only Jesus can offer. John's gospel starts with John was baptizing in the water of the Jordan. And then water and spirit, Jesus tells Nicodemus, are the means of being born from above. Jesus made a couple of 100 gallons of water into wine at the wedding in Cana as his first miracle. He walked on water in the stormy Sea of Galilee. He healed a blind man by taking some dirt from the ground and spitting in it and making mud and wiping it on the man's eyes, so that his eyesight was restored. He washed his disciples' feet with a bowl of water. And after he had given up his spirit, as he hung on the cross, a Roman soldier took a spear and pierced his side, and from that side comes water and blood. Just before that, though, the one who is himself living water says, I thirst. Think about that for a second. What could be more human than thirsting? Here, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, his lips are dry, his tongue is sticking to the roof of his mouth. Only Jesus, the God-man, though, can fulfill the prophecies. He thirsts. But not for himself, but rather for the salvation of all people. As Jesus is dried up, he is becoming the drink of forgiveness for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. John also, records a strange interaction with Jesus and a woman at a well, a Samaritan woman, in dealing with some water issues as well. Jesus comes to this outsider, this half-breed, who would have little expected any conversation from a Jew, let alone a Jewish rabbi like Jesus. And yet Jesus says to her, give me drink. Her response is kind of interesting. How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? It's an interesting response. But even more interesting is his response to her question. He says, our Lord, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Then later he expounds, for everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Did you hear that? I know. You just want to say, what? Water that wells up to eternal life? Water that quenches our eternal thirst? I'll sign up for that. The Samaritan woman sure wanted some, didn't she? Later, Jesus told a crowd, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. If you are thirsty, Jesus says, come to him. And that is a beautiful and inviting yet quite peculiar statement. Still later on, the one who promised living water so that man might never be thirsty again is hanging on a cross, naked, worn out, and dying. With nearly his last breath, he cries out, "I thirst." Behold the well of living water, the font of water welling up to eternal life, hanging on a cross, thirsting. Behold the very rock who was cleft in the wilderness to give a wellspring of life-giving water to his thirsty yet complaining people. Behold the one who created the waters that flow, the rivers that run, the oceans that surge, the water tables that nourish, the springs that bubble up. Behold the man, the God-man, Jesus. And he is thirsty, dried up, parched, with his tongue sticking like Velcro to the roof of his mouth, craving even a sip of sour wine from a sponge. Behold the man who thirsts. Having taken human flesh, the second person of the Trinity now needs to drink water in order to survive just like we do. If this God does not drink, this God will die. What can you make of that? The Creator relies on the elements that He created to make it from day to day, just like His creatures, us, do. And now His tongue is like sandpaper, and His blistered dry mouth, and all He wants is a drink. So the question has to be asked, what about you? What is it that you thirst for? What does your flesh ache and groan for? Surely not a drink of water. That's far too ordinary. No, often we thirst for money and riches, for power or for influence, for success and popularity, for comfort. Security, perhaps, is the issue. Maybe our thirst is more basic, for another drink, another beer, for another glass of wine to numb the pain, to dull the senses, to make you forget the cruel realities of living in this world. Maybe the thirst is more like, you thirst more for a better review on Facebook. Give me a few likes to what I posted, see how clever I am. Give me a little more respect when I walk through the hallways. I don't like you talking behind my back. Give me a better salary at my job. You see, we like Jesus are thirsty. But unlike Jesus, our thirst is for ourselves. Jesus thirsts for you. You see, God has taken on human flesh. Flesh that hungers. Flesh that thirsts. Flesh that needs sustenance. Flesh that can be beaten and abused and mocked and whipped and spit on and nailed to a cross and hung until its thirst in peril for its own life. But He is not thirsting so that He can live. He is thirsting because He came to die. He's thirsty because He has flesh. He has flesh because He desires to save you, to save all of mankind. So behold the man who thirsts, because he thirsts for you. Behold the man who empties himself so that we might be filled. Behold the man who was cut off so that we could be grafted in. Behold the man who thirsts so that we can be satisfied. The man who thirsts so that men might drink and never be thirsty again. Behold the man who is parched and dried up so that you might find in him a river of life. Behold the man who thirsts as he dies so that we might never die. Not like this. Not the big death. Not this death separated from God, not death and hell, oh no. For behold the man who thirsts so that you and I might be satisfied, not just now, but far better for eternity. In Him, our thirst and our desires, our needs, they're all quenched. Every thirst is primal. It's a hearkening back to the garden, to the days before the fall. Every thirst is also eschatological, end times directed, hearkening forward to the new creation when there's a new heaven and a new earth, and the old order of things will have completely passed away, where we will be around the river of life to the renewed heavens. And our thirst, even when they seem shallow and distorted, are really thirst for the wellspring, for the river that flows and the waters the whole new earth. Our thirst is good. It's a reminder of our Creator's provision in the garden. And it's a harbinger of the drink that is to come. A call to remain in Jesus alone, who offers water that will quench every thirst. And until then, as we wander in this wilderness between Eden and the new Eden, our thirst is still good. In the same way that hunger sharpens our desire for the bread of life, the body of Jesus, thirst chastens our taste buds to desire something more than water, something more than temporary fulfillment. Thirst disciplines you to desire a heavenly drink. Until you quench your thirst with the eternal water of life, there is a river from the Lord's altar flowing right out of our Lord's side. And it can soothe our parched throats. For here is the blood of Him who bled for you and bled for me. He who thirsted for our fulfillment, who died so that we might have life, now offers you in the chalice, under the wine, His very blood, under the bread, His very flesh, is given and shed for you, for the certainty of your salvation, for the forgiveness of your sins, for foretaste of the eternal quenching that is to come. A stream that can fulfill our deepest thirst is here. So behold the man whose blood still flows for you. Behold the man who was dried up with thirst so that our dry lips can be satisfied with the drink of His blood, which is a true drink indeed. Behold the God-man who thirsted. Behold the man who bids you thirst no more. Behold the man who is the headstream of a new drink, the river of life, the water from which you thirst deeply and intensely. Behold the man who was dried up with thirst so that you and I might be quenched with water that flows to eternal life. Behold the man, the God who thirsts for our salvation. Behold the man, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In His precious name, amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.